Yo. What's up?
Hello.
What's going on?
So, welcome to this evening's podcast with EchoCraft and City in Ruin. And how's it going there, Mr. City in Ruin?
Hanging out. Just ate some delicious dinner.
Well, that's excellent. I had some chocolate covered strawberries.
Ooh, fancy.
So yes, I have some issues with my phone right now, so I have to charge it. So I pardon the noise if you hear any out there. I will be switching over to some headphones in a minute, but I just wanted to say welcome and good evening. And this is our third podcast, EchoCraft Live. It's about synthesizers, music, and technology, synthetic music, or whatever the hell we want to talk about. So, how have you been?
I've been good. I've been hanging out and relaxing all week.
Well, that's good. I've been a little on the ill side myself. Got some kind of viral thing that's going around, and but I feel pretty good today. Feel a lot better than I did 2 days ago. So, but nobody wants to hear my woes. So we had purchased a bundle of software lately. This past couple of days, I believe it's called Ateria V Collection number 6. I think that's what it's called. And it is by Ateria, who makes the mighty Matrix Brute, the Mini Brute, the Drum Brute, the Micro Brute, the Mini Brute 2,
They make everything.
and now the Modular Brute, or the Rack Brute, as they call it.
They make everything, bro.
They make cool stuff.
They do.
Yes, V Collection 6, that's what it's called. So I know, Zach, you've had a chance to play around with this stuff.
Yes, I have. I've actually made a few songs on it.
Cool.
Yeah, fully ready.
Which ones did you which synths did you use? I know the synth collection. I'll just run through it real quick. We have well, it might not be as quick as I thought. Here we go. So we've got the first one that starts us off is the Analog Lab 3.
Yep.
Yo, bro, what is that noise?
Oh, I think I just dropped some.
So we have Analog Lab 3. We have the Synclavier 5. We have this V. We have Piano V2. We have B3V. I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying 5 or I don't know. It looks like a V to me. We have the
That's Roman
Buchla
numeral.
Easel V, the CMI V,
Which is nice.
the Jupiter 8 V3, the Matrix 12 V2, the mini. It's a mini Moog base, a mini Moog basically, mini Moog. Yeah, okay, wrong product. It's a mini Moog, and that's a V3, and then the Moog Modular V3, the ARP 2600 V3, the Farfisa, which is an organ V, the DX7V, the CS80, Yamaha CS80 V3, and the Solena V2. Solena is very cool. It's a very old synth, just geared towards strings and horns, or brass. Then we have the SEM, which is a Tom Oberheim SEM V2. The Prophet, which is a Dave Smith instrument, or Sequential Circuits Prophet V3. And we have the Stage S3, which is a piano, I believe. And then we have the Clavinet, excuse me, V, the Whirly V2, and the Vox Continental V2.
The box is
Yeah, it's
incredible.
kind of cool. I haven't had a chance to go through everything. I did kind of mess around with some stuff, but It's pretty impressive, man.
The banks that they have are unreal.
Yeah.
Like the one that's on the like the first one, the first or second one that you mentioned, the lab, dude. That thing must have a
It
thousand
has
different like
actually,
banks and
Zach, it
patches.
has 6,050 patches. Yeah, the other.
I tried to go through them in like 3 hours, and like I literally got on like the 20th one. It was like
oh,
3 hours
Well,
later.
Because once you start playing around with the sounds, you just kind of like you get lost. You'll stay on one sound for like 15 minutes.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, I really liked the SMI. That's just a killer. It's those of you who've never seen one of these. The SMI is something that was used back in the day with Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder. I believe Jan Hammer, the guy who wrote stuff for like Miami Vice and stuff like that, he actually used one of those. It's a sample-based machine. So I've been loving playing around with that. The Buchla easel I've been playing around with.
Oh, that thing is
well, I've actually
insane.
Seen a real one of those, and it looks just like it. I was messing around with patching the cables because it's basically a semi-modular, so you're able to patch cables into it. But for software, I'm pretty impressed, man. I mean, I'm a hardware guy. I have no problem using software, but you know me, Zach. I have a lot of gear.
Yeah, quite a collection.
And not all of it's out either. I got stuff in my closet still. But, you know, that's one thing while I was playing with this stuff, I just kind of, I don't know, I like it, but there's the tactile part of it that I miss. And I know that Arteria actually makes a really cool keyboard called a Keylab that maps to all of these things, so you can actually turn knobs and stuff with the software. So that's something to think about.
And I mean, for $500, it's a lot of stuff. You know, I mean, it's definitely got a price tag on it, but it's in my opinion,
dude,
worth it for on the go.
The CMI alone, to me, was worth the money. And that's as a standalone is how much? That's like $150 or $199 or something like that.
Yeah, I think so. I think they have it on the site.
I'm gonna look at it right now. Give me 1 second. I know it's
there's I know a couple of the synths are like I mean, I was talking to our friend Manny Hernandez, and one of the synths he was showing me is like on sale right now. Or you can buy it used, and it's like
$19,000. Oh, yeah.
Like unreal. Like, I mean, I get nothing obviously will compare to it, but if you're gonna have something on the go and stuff like that in a studio, like, you know, a little like take on the road kind of studio thing going on,
right.
You want that kind of sound. I mean, for $500, just having that in your arsenal for sounds is insane. I mean, he was showing me stuff that like was used. And it, I mean, obviously, pretty much all of it's used because they haven't made
longer
it
than
20
that,
or 30
my
years. But for someone, but for someone selling that, you know, I mean, that's a $19,000 piece, even in not even pristine condition. Pristine condition one was selling like 25
this one
grand.
Here, the CMI, is just to buy this one synth on Arteria's site is $199. I mean, you easily add that stuff up, you're looking at. You're looking at, you know, adding up a few of these, you're looking at a ton of money. Even if you bought four,
I mean,
of these,
it's unreal.
Past is what? There's how many?
And you got to remember, like, when you're buying them, you're not getting all the extra stuff that you would get with these. You'd have to create all that stuff. I mean, you might get some banks and stuff like that, but I mean, to get, you know, the one that I thought had 1,000 has 6,000 something in it, like that alone to buy the banks and. If you were going to go online and buy those like add-ons and stuff, I mean, the price for it is in my opinion, I mean, it's expensive for people to buy software. I mean, don't get me wrong and think, you know, $500 is, you know, a chump change in peanuts, but I mean, that's the value in it is
Well, yeah, I
so
mean,
good.
the lab itself, that you're talking about, the Lab 3, that's a combination of all of this stuff.
Yeah, and that's what I used the most. That's what I dabbled in the most, and I was very impressed at the different, because usually when you get banks, a lot of it is like, they all sound the same. They're just versions. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it'll be like ping, and then this one goes like ping, and this one goes like pa-pong. And it's like the diversity in all of it is unreal. Like, I mean, you'll listen to one song that sounds very country. You'll listen to one, section that's very hip hop, one that's very electronic. It's a nice dynamic.
Yeah, I'm just like, it's blowing my mind because I'm looking at this as you're talking, and there's stuff on here, man, that's like the Buchler is awesome because you can,
Yeah, I like the look.
yeah,
Just the
like I
look of
said,
it's
I've
cool.
seen a real one of these. It comes in a little suitcase. That's pretty cool. And it's not cheap. It's a very expensive synthesizer. As a matter of
No.
fact, they still make the easel. The easel is something you can purchase.
Really?
And I'm just running through some of these right now and looking at them, and it's just incredible. I there's the this right here, the DX7. That was, I think we talked about a little bit about the DX7 on the last show we did. The DX7 was the first real digital synthesizer that was available back in the day. And it was a real bitch to program, man. I hated that synth so bad. Everybody used it on every album in the 80s. And, I played around with that one tonight. And I got to tell you, going in and you click on this double arrow at the top of the page and it drops down and you go right into editing. And I was blown away that I actually like this synth now.
No, I was
I'm losing you,
the thing
Zach.
that I like the most about the suite. The thing that I like most about the suite is the fact that there is so much stuff to dabble in, but it's kind of just that. You can dabble in stuff and you don't have to really go into a ton of heavy editing, tweaking a bunch of knobs. Like, if you're looking for a sound, you can find it just in presets, and you can find it just in, what they're
Well, the cool
presenting
thing
to you. You
about the
know what I'm saying?
presets is, yeah, they're ready-made presets ready to go, just like on any synth. But what I love about this is as soon as you've opened the top of the little double arrow thing there and you're into the synth engine, you're able to go in. Like I went in and I tweaked the crap out of one of these, dude. Actually, see if I can. This is just the CMI. I'm gonna pop this on for a sec. Hold on. I actually played this. Don't know if you guys can hear that. Let me turn it up a little. Can you hear that, Zach?
Yeah, I can
That's
hear
one synth.
it.
The drums and everything.
Yeah, I was playing. I played a lot of them through my studio speakers and stuff, and I was very impressed at how clean everything sounded. Nothing is obviously as warm and as full as like the real thing, but
Dude, it's
they're
freaking
pretty
impressive.
close to a lot of those sounds. It is. And like I'm saying, it's not going to be, a replacement. It's not going to be, okay, let's put this up against someone with the hot. It's an on the
I
go kind
lost
of
you.
thing. But
Zach?
I mean, someone with a laptop,
Are you there?
yeah. Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah, you were fading in and out on me, bro. Yeah.
Was I? Oh, sorry. I just like that it's it's comparable. You know, you obviously will never beat the real thing, but for someone an on the go with a laptop, I mean, they have a full-fledged studio now on their laptop.
Well, I mean, that's just it. It's again, I'm a big fan of hardware synthesizers, but I'm also a big fan of software. And I, again, like you said, some of these synths, some of them go back 50 years, 60 years.
Like the one that looks like the old
that's
ass
the
computer.
SM, that's the CMI. That's the one I'm talking.
Yeah.
Well,
That
what I
thing
just
is
finally
friggin'
figured
sweet.
out about that, I was reading the manual, and when I figured out what I thought that was really cool, you can add your own samples in that. So
Yeah.
that blew my mind because now you know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna sample some of my analog shit and drop it in there and use that, you know. Because the sequencer on this device also is very easy to program. I'm going to have to show you next time I see you because it's really cool. I wish we had Manny on the show to talk to because it's I know he's used it and I know he's been messing around with it. And I got to tell you, that synth alone, like I said in the beginning, that synth alone is worth the whole package. Because it's a sampler, it's got a sequencer in it. It's got some really old stuff in it, dude. Like it's mind blowing. I wish we could do a YouTube live podcast just so I could show people stuff because this thing
That
well
sounds
it
like a
might
good
happen.
idea.
This might turn into that because it's nice to actually be able to show people what this is capable of doing. And you know it's it, well I'm just going to pull something up right now and I just want you to guys see one of the things that blows my mind about this synth is this right here. This kills me. Like I said, Mike, what was that?
It's my dog yelling at something. He's on the other side of the house, freaking out.
Michael Jackson and it sounds like Atlas.
Yeah, Alice is going ballistic.
Wow.
Yeah, he's not happy.
So Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder used this synth a lot, and I'm gonna play this to see if you guys can listen over Atlas's barking.
Yeah, sorry about that. There's no control on him.
Can you hear that?
Oh, that sounds incredible.
That's the beginning of Beat It.
Yeah.
And that's in the CMI, and you can go in and play with it and stuff. It's crazy. The things that are in this synth, and I know I keep talking about this, but it just blows my mind. The strings that are in here are so nice too. It's just such an old school sound.
It is. I love it. I love the way it sounds.
It's like I said, I'm sure you guys can only hear just a little bit of it, but it just sounds really cool. Again, like I said, the hardware part of things is like I just bought the DeepMind. I have the Matrix Brute, and those two synths are just ridiculous. They're right now two of my favorites, and I have a lot of favorites. I love my Roland SEO2, and I love my Mother 32.
Oh, the Mother
But
32 is so great.
I gotta tell you, these software synths are growing on me, man. I'm pretty impressed, actually.
Yeah, it's unreal what they give you for the value. It's not just like, and it seems like the way, even though it's like the visual like look of what the synth is, the fact that they give you almost like the directions is pretty
Well, that's
cool.
the other thing, yeah. And there's tutorials on it.
Like they label everything. Yeah, and they label everything too. They're like, okay, this is strings, this is patches, this is going to be pads, this is going to be, you know, arpeggiator, this is going to be this, this is going to be that. I like how it's like broken down. So if you're like, you're looking for a specific sound, you can go into just, okay, I want a pad. I'm going to find just pads that are going to pop up. It's broken down nice, which is something that you can't do in anything else besides software.
Can and you can't. I hear you. It's, in software, it's much easier and better to do. Absolutely. I'm looking right now at the ARP 2600 because that's one of my favorite synths. I actually played a real one of these years ago.
Really?
What I love about it is it's got patch cables that I can actually patch new stuff into, which is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you could, it'll change the sound. Can you hear that? Just craziness that's involved in this thing, man. And it's,
yeah, it when sounds
I
look good.
At it too, like the case is all beat up, it's got scratches on it, and this is they even said it's for high resolution monitors, and my monitors are old and it still looks pissa.
Yeah, I put it on my 4Ks and it was like, you know, you're looking at the it was like you're looking at the real thing. The textures they put on it were incredible.
It's mind-boggling to me because it's and I'm just patching stuff right now into this thing, and it's just doing its own thing, man. It's...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed a lot of them. You like click one key, and it just plays like 13.
To be honest with you, it literally. It just sounds so good. And like I said, I've been playing around. Mm-hmm. I played around with one of these for a long time. I used to have a little DAT recorder. And I went to this place called the Synth Museum up in New Hampshire.
I'm already interested.
Well, unfortunately, the curator died. I forget his name. He died. And he was a strange little man, very knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
There were tons of cats in his house. There wasn't a house, dude. I have to say, it was probably the most disgusting place I've been in. And it was really sad because there were some beautiful synthesizers and everything was just kind of like laying on the floor and stacked up all over the place.
Really?
It was awful. And he called it the Synth Museum. And the guy that I went with, this guy, Sean, that I used to hang out with, who has a very large analog collection. I don't know if he does anymore, but he and I went there together and you had to make an appointment to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we went and when we got there, we knocked on the door and he opens the door and he says, okay, before I let you in, there's an admission fee. And we're like, okay, whatever it is, man, we'll pay it, you know? And he said, well, you have to take me to McDonald's so I can get some lunch and you're buying. And we were like, okay. So we took him down to McDonald's and we fed him.
So you actually took this guy to McDonald's?
Yeah.
That's odd.
Oh, he was an odd little dude.
That's a little odd.
And we took him down to McDonald's, where it was right down the street from the place, and he ordered a bunch of stuff, like a couple of hamburgers and some McNuggets, and it cost us like $10, right?
What a freak!
And we didn't want anything because we had coffee and bagels while we were driving up there, and so. You know, he's done eating and he's like, okay, well, let's get going. And I'm like, okay. So we go there and he says, you guys can spend as much time as you want. I'm going to be in the back room. I have a synthesizer I'm fixing. So we were like, okay, because he used to repair them too.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you mind? It says on your website that, you know, if we want to sample the stuff, we can. He says, no. He says, do whatever you want. And so I took out my little DAT recorder and I went. First thing I saw was the ARP 2600 and I went over to it. And it didn't turn on. So I was like, okay. So then he came walking in and he said, oh, let me get that turned on for you. So he like took a bunch of other stuff off top of it and put it down and he found a plug and he plugged it in. And I plugged directly coming out of it into my dad, and I sat there for 2.5 hours, dude. We were there for about 6 hours.
Really?
2.5 hours sampling the crap out of that synth. I used to have a ESI, I believe that's what it was called back then, and it was a sampler, and that's what I used. I took it back and plugged my dad in and then sampled everything and put it on a disc and the whole nine yards. But I sampled a thing. It was a synth called the Wasp. It was a yellow and black keyboard. It had a metal.
The Wasp, kid.
Yeah, it had a metal and black, a yellow and black metal keyboard. And it was one. It's one of my favorite synths. I've seen some people refurb them, and they're going for thousands of dollars. They're beautiful.
Really?
But what a sound, like guttural, like nasty. I mean, you couldn't get anything clean out of this. At least I couldn't. It was just nasty. So I sampled the hell out of that as well. But yeah, when I got home, I literally took like 2 showers and, cause it was, dude, I'm not kidding you. It was like, highly allergic to cats. And it was awful. Like my eyes were swollen when I got out of there and I had the sniffles, and, my friend Sean is like, dude, are you going to be all right? I was like, yeah, I just need some Benadryl, man. I was like a mess.
Really?
And he said, that place was so disgusting. I go, yeah, it really was. I go, he was really cool. He's a really nice guy. And the synth that he had so much stuff. I can't even tell you, like half the shit that we're looking at right now on these, he had all of these, dude.
Really?
He had stuff I had never seen before. He had stuff that he was building that he designed. He had he had a Farfisa, he had a clavinet. The only thing he didn't have was a clavier. He had a CMI, but it was all broken in the corner. He said he had to fix it. But dude, like the things that he had, and we want to know to this day, you know, Eric Pearson, right?
Yeah.
Well, Eric, he's interested in synths. He always has been. And he brought that site up one day and work. And he said to me, he said, have you ever seen this place? And I told him the story. I said, yeah, I went there and I met the guy. He said, well, you know, he died. And I was like, no, I didn't even know.
Oh, shit.
And so we went online at lunchtime, him and I watched the video, and you can see it on YouTube. Just on YouTube, all you have to do is type in Synth Museum, New Hampshire. And, he comes up there's two dudes that did a documentary on him before he died.
Really?
Yeah. Well, apparently the other thing that happened too was his estate didn't sell off the synths. I guess they gave them to another synth museum, which is, I believe, down in Rhode Island. I could be wrong.
Wow.
But I'm going to punch it up right now on my computer here. Synth Museum. And it was just mind blowing. Like, I mean, there's a lot of them. There's one in Melbourne, Calgary, Berlin, Oakland. This is New Hampshire. And let's see. Yeah, New England Synth Museum. Here it is right here. There he is. Dave Wilson was his name. Quirky little dude, man. Oh, yeah, the other thing I remember, he had on a Pokemon sweatshirt.
No way.
Yeah. And I think...
What a hero.
In some of these pictures on here, he's got a Pokemon on his belt or something. Let me see. Yeah, it's sad. And I don't think it says anything about his death here, but he talks about his dad. I mean, he did a lot of stuff, dude.
I've never even heard of the Synth Museum in New Hampshire. I didn't even know. I would have gone if there was one. I think that would have been cool.
Yeah, Yeah, he did a lot of stuff, man. He actually recorded a lot of stuff for a lot of different things. And it says here, He says, I would really like to publish a CD-ROM with factual information on every synthesizer that has ever existed.
Wow.
Including front and rear panel layouts and schematics. he was a super smart guy, man. He says his dad taught him how to solder at age 7. If any of you guys, you know, want to check this out, seriously, just look up New England Synth Museum and check out Dave Wilson. He was a quirky little dude, but he was cool. He was very nice to us, and he let us do whatever we wanted when we were there. But, you know, it's just passed away.
Yeah, especially someone keeping it alive like that.
And again, I don't know. We don't really know what happened to him. I mean, to his place. There's a bunch of cool stuff on here too. There's on the website. There's other places he tells you to go to actually get your stuff serviced and fixed if you're not close to him. But again, unfortunately, he's dead. And
so he would fix stuff for other people too.
That's what he did. Yeah, he was a electronics engineer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, see, musicianservice.com, repair and service. Yeah, he was a cool guy. It's just really sad, you know.
Yeah, I hate when guys like that, you know.
Well, I mean, dude, it's like I said, there was the stuff that, like, when we were there, it's like, you know, the cats and the dirt and the dust. And there's the other thing. He sounded like he had a cold all the time.
Well, he probably was around fucking 800 cats.
I think he was allergic to cats. I mean, I think he died of lung respiratory failure.
What?
Yeah. So that's what I said, like.
Pussy kills, man.
Oh, God.
I had to throw it on there. I had to.
There's a cool picture of the Matrix 12 on here, which is really cool because that's one of the synths in the bundle too. And he had that in the museum.
Yeah, I would have loved to. I wish it was still there. I would have loved to have gone.
Dude, he had Oberheim stuff. He had, I mean, you name it, he had it. It was just like.
So what do you think it was worth?
Oh God, there was hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of stuff in there.
Really?
Yeah. Like I said, there were things in there that I had never seen, and there were things in there that I was like, "You have one of these?" Like,
really?
Oh yeah, he had an EMS.
What?
The EMS looked like Battleship. It was a matrix system that you would actually use these little pegs to program things with.
Yeah, I you showed me that at some point at work, I think.
Yeah, he had one of those. I'm looking at all the stuff right now, man. He had so much stuff. Really sad. But, and I think Eric did a little more digging and he did find out that the estate gave stuff, a lot of the stuff to another museum.
That's cool, but I wish they had kept stuff like that in New Hampshire or like in Mass somewhere, you know. I mean, Rhode Island's not far, but.
No, it's, a lot of this stuff is gone, man. Like, I'm looking at all the resources and stuff, and a lot of them don't even, the URLs don't even exist. You click on something and it takes you someplace else. Yeah. It's too bad.
That sucks.
But anyway. Yeah, so if you guys, like I said, get a chance, go on, type in Synth Museum, or if you go on YouTube, let's see, and type in New England Synth Museum. I'm going to do it right now, make sure I don't look like a jackass. And I know these two dudes... they had videotaped him once before. Yeah, here it is. There it is, dude. John Whitney and David Camlin. Those are the guys that did it. And
Yeah, I really want to go now.
You just go online and check this video out. That just
scared the shit out of me. I want you to know. I had no idea what was going on. I thought my
headphones
broke. My
wife is gonna kill me. She has to be up at 4.
Oh yeah, she's definitely gonna kill you, ladies and gentlemen. Podcast at Backrowcraft.
Oh, you're in and out, Zach. Yeah, you just died.
Don't lie to me.
You there?
Did I? Yeah.
Hold on.
Okay. I'm still here.
Yeah, that's him.
I'm still
that's
there,
actually
boys.
Dave Wilson playing the Star Wars theme.
Really?
It looks like a mad scientist playing the keyboard. And he was playing that on a DX7. Can you hear him talking?
Yeah.
Put away all the analog synths on top of that.
He's talking about the DX7. He loved that keyboard. Like when we went and visited him, it's all he talked about with us.
Really?
Yeah, he's an interesting dude. If you go on and see this, man, you'll get to see what I'm talking about. Dude, there was like junk everywhere. There's like tissues everywhere. There was crap all over the floor. Yeah.
Really?
Like I'm looking at it right now. He's looking at a MS-20, a Korg MS-20. There's a beautiful ARP Odyssey on its side in like trash. Yeah, this is what it looked like. Do you have your computer in front of you? This is a headwatch
prototype. Yeah.
You need to go on and check this out, man.
Why was it all like, why was it all beat up?
Well, they're
like
not beat
that,
up.
Though.
They're just laying on their side in filth.
Why? Was he in like a bad house?
It was in his house. He lived upstairs. Yeah.
Shit. Was it like a fucked up house?
It was actually a nice house, but then he just didn't take
care.
That's
weird
to me. Huh?
That's weird to me. That's weird to me.
Well, it was weird to us. You should have seen us when we walked in there.
Really?
Yeah, see, this is him. This is the documentary they did before he died, and he goes through all of the synths, dude. But you got to see it. Like, they're showing stuff, and it's just laying in filth.
Oh.
This is the one. He's got a jacket on, and he's got a Pikachu and a little pink pig on his coat.
A Pikachu. What?
Yeah, there was no heat in the house.
You're really selling this to me, huh?
Because you have to see it. It's a dude. He's got. I'm looking right now. He's got a beautiful mini Moog Model D in mint condition sitting on this shelf. And when I saw it, it was covered in dust.
Oh,
that's what I didn't understand about the man. His love and passion for synthesizers, and he. I didn't get it. Like, he was just, he lived in, he let everything live in, like, squalor.
Weird. A man obsessed with his hobby, I guess.
Obsessed with something. I mean, it was really sad. But, yeah, I don't mean to take so much time up on the podcast about this. I just found it fascinating and still find the fact that I actually went there and I met this guy before he died and saw all of this stuff, and I was blown away by it. And like I said, I came home and I didn't take two showers, but I took an extra long shower and basically scrubbed my body and threw my clothes in the trash.
Yeah, I got it pulled up right now, and I'm just like,
oh
my God.
The first one?
Oh,
God,
yeah.
Which says brainwash.com? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one where he plays the DX7, but then just watch them all. They're very good.
Dude, it looks like fucking Vigor Frankenstein was in this
fucking
place.
You got to see it. He's talking now about...
I actually want to go.
Well, it's not there anymore.
I know. We should go to the...
the house is there. He's got...
What should we call it?
There's a Moog. Oh, he's...
We should just go to the one that's in Rhode Island. Dude, I think that'd be cool.
He has an MC202, which they don't make anymore. Brand new in a box. Yeah.
Well, what? People gave him. Oh, he probably sold. He probably sold
no,
that.
No, people gave him stuff, dude. Do you know how rare that is?
Yes.
Yeah, he's got the original manual and everything. But people wow. gave him stuff. See, it's funny because here he is. This is the kid. He's taking things apart and he's. They're moving. So there's a pillow there. I don't know what the pillow was for. Maybe he was sleeping on it. Yeah, you really need to like see it. It's fascinating.
I'm looking at some of the stuff and like the house, dude. Like. You'd think that they'd have like a better representation of the stuff, and it's just like,
well, that's what I started to tell you. But Sean and I, he got offended because Sean and I said, "Hey, look, we were going to put over $2,000 into buying him some lumber and stuff, and we were going to go up and build shelves for him, and clean the place up, and put some track lighting up so that everything would be represented the right way," and he got really mad at us. Yeah, he really? Said, no. He said, I don't want any fancy stuff. He says, I like it just the way it is. And we're like, okay, well, you know, we didn't mean to offend you. We just wanted to help you because we're fascinated by the collection that you have. And he was like, no, I'm fine. Everything's fine. And it was sad because it's funny because this guy, David Camlin, I believe says something similar to him. I watched all the videos and... what he says is at the end, he says, yeah, we wanted to help him out and pitch in and, you know, build shelving and stuff for him. And he didn't like that idea. And I started laughing with Eric and I said, Eric, I said the same thing to the guy. So, I mean, unfortunately, you know, it is what it is. And he's gone, unfortunately. And, it's a shame, you know, and I just tried to look up like, on Google, like if there was any other synth museum places around, and I don't see anything, so I don't even know because I know that's there was one in Watertown, Mass, but I don't know what happened to that. Let's see if I can find that one. The New England Synthesizer Community and Facebook Boston Modular. Looking for a synth shop in New England area instruments on Reddit. Oh, yeah, here it is. Rest in peace, David Hilly Wilson.
Yeah, Hilly.
Hilly. Yeah, that's his name. Yeah, passed away.
That sucks.
Yeah, he started it 15 years ago.
It's always the good ones, man, that keep something alive.
Yeah, here it is here. It says... the address is 6 Vernon Street, Nashua, New Hampshire, and unfortunately, it's closed.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's sad.
We got to go to the one in Rhode Island, though. I mean, I would love to see some of that shit.
Well, like I said, I think a lot of that stuff was actually down there.
That's what I mean. If they got a bunch of stuff down there like that, I would be all about it.
Yeah. It's weird. I don't see anything else. I don't see anything else on here, but yeah, you know, it's like weird, man. It's like, oh, what's this? Synth City. Well, where is that? God bless.
Oh, this, thank you.
This is in Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, yeah, let's fucking take the next flight.
Thank Dude, you. This, I tell you, other than New England, there are a lot of places around the country that actually have synth museums.
Really?
Yeah. Or synth shops. There's a place I told you in Brooklyn, New York, called Control.
Mm-hmm.
They're a synth shop. Oh, look at that. Did you know New England's online synth museum?
Hmm.
And there he is. Yeah, that's him. He's an interesting man. Unfortunately, he's gone. But anyway, dude, yeah, I can't find the one in Rhode Island. Maybe that's gone.
That's a shame.
Let me try something else. But anyway, so, yeah, you said you wrote a couple of songs.
Yeah, I did, actually.
Using that, using those synths, huh?
Mm-hmm. It was very surprising at how fluid it was.
Really?
You know, I'm no master by any means, and it was unreal. Unreal.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, the some of the software synths that Logic even gives you are really nice, but these were definitely interesting because they were so vintage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking while I'm looking here because I found another one. Vintage Synth Explorer. There's so many of them, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I shouldn't be looking at this site.
Why, you're gonna buy some stuff?
It's like freaking synth porn. How about the El Pueblo History Museum?
Never even heard of it.
There's a really nice one in California. Wow.
Really?
Yeah, you should see this. Oh, yeah, he had an Oscar, too. An OSC. I actually had the synthesizer that I actually had the software of that. There's another awesome thing here. You get a kick out of this by Atari. It says basic synthesizer program, a hands-on exploration of the fundamentals of subtractive analog synthesis and sound design.
Really?
It has the Atari symbol on it, but it looks like an old like Activision box, but it's an ad for their, they do synth classes there.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
That is cool. I like that.
But yeah, man, you know, unfortunately, you know, we don't have one around here anymore.
Mm.
I could probably start my own.
You probably could, actually.
You know, there's another company out there called G-Force Software. That they did a lot of synth design software also. The one of the guys' names that builds and designs the software for G-Force is David Spears. He's been on sonicstate.com, and this is right here. This is the one I owned this. It's called the G-Force Imp Oscar 2. It's $179, and I got to tell you, dude, this synth is killer. Now, this is software is made after the real analog one.
Yeah.
And they make a lot of killer synths, dude.
Mm-hmm.
G-Force, they really do. I put them right there next to Arteria.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything by them.
Yeah, G4, they've been around for a while.
Like I've never even seen one like for sale anywhere.
What the software synth by these guys?
Yeah.
Oh no, they're on Sweetwater. You can download the stuff. Yeah, see, they have stuff like the Chambertron and really odd stuff. Mm-hmm. They've got Moogs.
Really?
Yeah. This Moog right here. This is the top selling. This is an ARP Odyssey. Sorry, for $179.
Is it software?
Yeah, and it's just. I know for a fact this stuff sounds awesome because I used to own the Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded great. Yeah, this is all their stuff. They got the Oscar, the Mini Monster, which is basically a Moog. A string machine, which basically is the Solana. No? It's kind of like that. Yeah, there's a bunch of them they have. But I'm not seeing like a bundle. That's one cool thing about Arteria. It was a bundle. You know, you buy it in one shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a Mellotron pack here for $29. But yeah, I like the fact that Arteria has a bundle of software so that you can... The nice thing about that, too, is if the stuff that you don't want, you just delete it or you don't install it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, so what else do you want to talk about, Zach?
I mean, I'm pretty excited for the album, to be honest. Like, that's been pretty daunting on the mind.
What album might that be, Zach?
Oh, it's the collaboration between us, City and Ruin and Echocraft, and our own little band.
Yeah, the why don't we talk a little bit about that? About what the well, actually, hold on one second. Let me. You guys just bear with me for a sec. I just need to see where I'm at. Oh, good. All right. I just want to plug my headphones into my microphone because I just feel like I'm yelling here.
Yeah, you're always yelling.
Hold on. Bear with me, ladies and gents. And I know there's some ladies out there that are people too, because let me tell you, there's a giant female synth community out there. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. No, I can hear you way better now.
Yeah, this is nice, actually. Yeah, there's a huge female synth community out there, and not many people mention that. And I know that a lot of the ladies stick together, and there's even some synth women's synth communities out there that I've tried to get a hold of, and they pretty much didn't want nothing to do with me because I was a guy, which kind of made me sad. No, it kind of bummed me out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you try to reach out to people because you like some of the stuff they do. And, you know, but I don't know what that's all about. But there are some ladies out there that have got back to me that we, you know, kind of chit chat a little bit on Instagram. And, you know, I'll post something and they'll like it and vice versa. So, I mean, there's a lot of ladies out there that kill it on the synth, man. And
oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, and the rigs that they, you know, and, you know, I'm not trying to sound male chauvinist or nothing, but a lot of people don't know about that stuff. A lot of people think that, you know, there's a, you know, if a girl plays a keyboard, she's only going to be a concert pianist, you know? And I'm like, no.
No.
There's a lot of synth enthusiasts out there that are women. And I think that's very cool.
Oh, without a doubt.
But, anyway, yeah. So, why don't you talk a little bit about, what this album's going to be like.
It's definitely the brainchild of us, for sure. It's going to be me, obviously, and you. And I think it's a new band. I mean, if you want to go that far, I mean, we have our own name. It's going to be it's going to be a weird collaboration, I think, but I think in a good way. I think we both have different sounds. You know, I think you're very electronic and very, like, atmospheric, in the music you make, which is great. And I'm very dark and, you know, sad boy, but I think it'll be a nice little undertone for the electronic community, right? For the electronic community, you know, I'm excited. I think it'll be cool because I like both styles of music and I think they go well together. I mean, I know there's been times where me and you have actually, I've done stuff on keyboard and played piano. And I know you've actually been like, wait a minute, I have something that goes perfectly with that. And you played me this. Remember that time we played the same chords?
Yeah, that was really weird, man.
Yeah, that was weird, dude. When I played the One Last Lullaby, when yeah, I had you, that song,
you
it was
playing,
the same chords.
You were playing the arpeggiation of that, and then I came in and played a piano piece, and they were the exact same notes, but
yeah,
the way
it was odd.
The way they were offset. And I remember Sabrina was here doing vocals with us that day, and
yep.
She just looked at us like, you guys didn't plan this. And we're like, no.
No, dude, it was very, very strange. I've never seen anything like that before. It was very odd.
That was pretty cool, man. I have to admit, that was pretty cool.
Oh, for sure. I loved it. I thought it was very strange. But no, to go back on the topic, I think the direction that I wanted to go was I wanted something, talking about it, I wanted something that was going to be like that neo-gothic, like new school, you know, you almost like an anime, you know, when you hear it in like anime music, you know, in like nightclubs and like the vampire nightclubs and all that stuff. I wanted something like that. I know when I had to talk to you about it,
you know,
you're totally about it and on board. And I think it's going to be really, really cool. I definitely think it's going to definitely be more of a dark thing. So I think it's cool because it's going to make you go in my direction for dark, and it's going to make me go in your direction for like the electronic and melody. So I think it'll be cool because, you know, we'll both learn, you know, a little something.
Right.
You know, I like creativity from other angles, especially with like artwork and stuff, you know. You know, I base my stuff off of certain people or, you know, certain influences, and I think it'll be cool to have music that we both do that is based off of each other, which I think will be cool for like a project like this.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. The album artwork's done for it though. We got some songs ready. So, I mean, the next month or so, 2 months, I think we'll be in crunch time.
Well, the album artwork is fucking phenomenal. Like literally phenomenal. I was blown away with what you did.
You know, I try.
You know, it really, dude, like really good.
I wanted something that had that strange feel of, you know, that panic. And like, you know, you watch like, you know, Friday the 13th movies and stuff like that. And you saw like that, like craziness. But, you know, I wanted like the, you know, the Bram Stoker and like all the influences of all like the greats and everything kind of thrown in. Because I think that's what we wanted, even though it's like the, but I want it to be like more new age.
Right.
You know, so I think that was, you know, a big thing with what I had done. I wanted it to look very new and old. Like, I think the lighting I did was very 80s for 80s horror. And then I think the design itself was very new age and very, you know, very like paying homage to the old horror genres.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. And when Manny saw it, he kind of lost his shit on it.
Yeah, he did. He had texted me. I remember he had texted me like right afterwards and was like, bro, he's like, dude, you got to make CDs. You got to make friggin' posters. Like, I want a poster. You got to make fucking anything you can, make it. I'm like, all right, like I can do that. But
no, it was like, I would love to see a poster made of that.
I think we should do, you know, for anyone that's like really into it, I think we should do like, you know, the first 10 people that buy it, we'll throw in like a poster.
Yeah, we should definitely do that.
I'd be totally cool with that.
Can you hear that?
I can hear that.
Well, you're talking to me. I'm
playing around.
I'm patching on the Op 2600. I'm using patch cables and I'm patching stuff in and out.
really.
Yeah. It's fun. There's so much to do with this synth alone. It's so much fun. But anyway, the thing with, I don't know if anybody heard Zach's track on the compilation album from TMP Records called Earth Transmission. It's called, what's it called, Zach?
Really? A tribute to the dead.
Yes. That's my old brain. Sorry.
It's okay. You're forgiven.
It's very, very horror-esque. It sounds like it belongs in a horror movie. So that's kind of the feel that we're going for, but we're also going for more of a little harsher, a little heavier too.
Maybe
guitars and stuff like that. And
I like the feel of I know we had talked about it. We had said, almost like those nightclubs, that nightclub feel.
Right.
What they would listen to, and stuff like that,
Right.
And I was watching something a couple of days ago. And do you remember Batman Beyond? I don't know if you ever watched that, but it was like Terry McGinnis and Batman had given up the rings to Terry McGinnis and he was the new Batman. And I thought about it and I was listening to it and I loved the music that was in a couple of the scenes for the nightclub and stuff. And I was like, that's what we have to do. We have to get something that's memorable like that. I thought it was friggin' awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. We can do that.
What
I loved, what we should do is kind of a hold on a second. Let me get rid of this. What was the movie? The Dracula movie, Dracula Untold.
Oh my god, dude! One of my favorite movies ever.
Well, we've already written a couple of pieces for that that we did around Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So those are definitely going on the album.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Zach basically told me what to play. He sat behind me in the studio. He didn't play anything. And he said, do this, get this sound, do that. And basically was producing and conducting me. And we came up with this track. It's very orchestrated. A lot
Which
of
is weird.
It is weird because you don't know anything about orchestration.
it was very strange. How it all kind of worked. I was kind of weirded out by it. I was like, wait, I want this to sound like this. And you made it sound like that. And I was like, this motherfucker in
what
my
we,
brain.
What did we call that, dude? I was,
I don't even remember. I was so pumped about it.
Cause I have it. We have Children of the Night.
Yep.
That was one of them.
Yep.
That's the one that we, I'll call that up right now. That's the one that we actually, what did we do? We took Dracula, Bela Lugosi's sample.
Yes. Oh, dude, that was fun. That was a little live collaboration. I was pretty pumped about that. That was really cool. Oh, there it is.
Can you hear that?
I can.
And dude, that big bell at the beginning is so sick.
Oh, I know. I loved everything about that, dude. It was
incredible. Well, this is the one that you told me. You were telling me I want a cello.
Dude, the cello is, for me, my favorite instrument.
It is mine as well.
I don't want to say this to sound emo and shit, but I love how sad and how just dreary it is. It's not a happy musical instrument by any means.
It isn't. It can be. It's a very emotional instrument.
It is.
And that's what I love about it. It's a very emotional instrument.
Yes, without a doubt.
Yeah.
As you have known, but a lot of people know, I actually, one of my favorite, and I actually have it tattooed on me, one of my favorite animes is Blood Plus. And I have Haji, who is the guardian of this girl, Saya. It's obviously a vampire anime. And as you know, no one really knows, you know, me, but I'm obsessed. I have vampires tattooed all over me, as I know Jay does too.
I have a cemetery tattooed as a sleeve.
Yeah, exactly. I have a vampire sleeve, you know. And Haji played the cello for Saya in the anime.
See, that's cool.
And because he didn't sleep, and when she slept, he would play the cello. And that's what got me into it. As weird as that is, and as like not musically inclined as I am, you know, now I'm getting more into music, but I'm not a very musical, like musically talented person.
Right.
And it was, you know, you're not supposed to agree with me, you asshole. And it was.
I didn't mean right like that.
No, I know. But it was, that's what turned me on to that particular sound. Because I'd listened to it and I was like, holy shit. I was like, what instrument is this? And I remember I looked it up, and I was young when this anime came out. And I looked it up and I was like, this cello is incredible. When I finally figured out what it was, I was like, this is an amazing instrument. And I've always wanted a song or a piece with it. And I just remember like when I was talking to you about it, I was like, listen, we got to put this in there. Blah, blah, blah. And you were like, yeah, that's fine. And I was like, all right, put it in. And you put it in. I was like, oh, this is exactly what I wanted. This is without a doubt exactly what I wanted.
I mean, that's like me when I played, I was in a vampire band called Sub 7 and the Undead. And I wrote a song called Black Snow. It was
which
funny.
I love.
Because my daughter's handicapped. And she said to me one day, we were driving, she said, Daddy, what if snow was black? And I was like, wow, what a freaking interesting concept. So I was so I wrote this song, and it just had piano and cello in it. That's how I wrote it. And that was all that was in it. And then I had my violinist from my band, Kala, her stage name was Rain. She played violin over it, and it just sounded amazing. You know,
it's one of my favorite songs on that album, not my favorite.
It's funny because if you're on Apple Music and you ask Siri, hey Siri, play Sub 7 and the Undead, that's the only song that it plays. I don't know why.
Really?
I don't understand why. I have two albums out under Sub 7 and the Undead, and that's the only song that plays on Apple Music when you ask Siri. So I don't really understand that, but it's interesting. But this is another thing that I had written called The Mistress of Titan. And this is an orchestral piece that I was going to see if you wanted to put on the album. I'll just play a snippet of it. I don't know if you can hear that.
Oh, I can.
And the cellos and the French horns kick in.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is a lot of stuff that, like, you know, this is what I'm really into. I'm really into doing a lot of vocal and choir and orchestral stuff, movie soundtrack music.
Yep.
And the thing that kills me is, nobody knows that about me. And so that's kind of why, you know, I'm psyched to do this album with you, because we're going to get a chance to really play around with stuff like that and get it out there. So people know that, you know, we're serious about what we're doing. It's not just, you know, two dudes hanging out making synth music. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing too with me, like, my music isn't meant for people to like bump their head and be like, oh, this is a great beat. Like, I like feeling behind my music and like a weird mood kind of thing, you know, like I've envisioned something or someone in an anime, a movie, anything kind of like, you know, playing around with my stuff. It's not really like, you know, anything else.
Well, the other thing too, Zach, is you're a gamer. Zach actually owns a link called a website called Frost Links. And he's a gamer. You're a gamer. And there's a lot of gamers that we work with, and I play games as well, not quite as good as you, but, you know, I have fun doing it. I've been playing games since Pong. And you know, it's fun. And I haven't played a video game in a while because I spend most of my time in the studio now, but which I should.
Yep. No, but, I'm the same way, dude.
But, you know, the thing that always blows my mind about games is even back in the 80s, the gaming music was cool. Like, even like the 8-bit stuff was cool. And I loved like hearing 8-bit orchestration. Like, you know, what was a game that I thought was hilarious? What was it? It was Mega Man, I think, was one of them. Mega Man, and then another game. It was on Atari. It was an Atari 2600 game. And you ran, your guy was running on the field. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I forgot the name of it. But the 8-bit orchestration in that was so cool. And, you know, and then as games progressed, the music industry, you know, they started having these big orchestras come in, and these guys are like doing film scores.
Oh yeah.
You know, for games, which is freaking mind blowing. And some of the games too, the soundtrack in The Last of Us is just so freaking good.
I know.
You know,
I know.
And it's so emotional and it draws you into the game, 'cause that game is intense anyway.
Yeah.
But I mean, things like that. And this, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to be able to, you know, with you, show people that we have the ability to do that. 'Cause you know, one of your favorites and my favorites is Cell Dweller or Clayton.
Oh my God. Bow down to the God.
I know.
Worship him. Worship him.
He's definitely the man. And, you know, another one of my favorites is Junkie XL. You know, he does a lot of cool stuff. He's done a lot of mad movies. He did Mad Max, you know, he did.
Which has, can I just say, an incredible score.
Oh, my God.
It's so good.
He wrote the guitar, that guitar part with the guy that was on the truck playing the guitar.
Yeah.
That's him, you know. So
really?
Yeah.
Because I love that part. I'm always like, dude, I love this
show. Oh, so good. And then he also did Dark Tower.
Another great soundtrack.
And him and Zimmer, Hans Zimmer, another favorite of mine, did, what was it, Batman versus Superman. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like a lot of that stuff, like those guys just blow my mind. But they're the guys that are writing for movies. I mean, mm-hmm. Clayton's list of things that he's done. There, I guarantee anybody out there that's ever seen a movie or played a video game, anything,
mm-hmm.
Clayton, one of Clayton's songs is in it.
Oh, dude, I got to tell you this, and I don't think I've ever told you this, but it was really weird because I remember when I had first met you were talking to me about Cell Dweller and all this shit, and I was like, yeah, I was like, you know, I really don't know who the fuck that is. And I remember you show me this song, and it was called, it was by his, when he did this persona, not when he did, you know, his other stuff like Cell Dweller and all that other stuff. And it's Gandroid now, but it was when he did, actually, no, it was when he did Cell Dweller. He did, this song called, oh man, I'm going to lose it now. Switchback. That's
Switchback. Yeah. That's from a video game.
Exactly. But I didn't know this, dude. When I was young, when I was like 8 or 9, dude, I played a snowboarding game, an ESPN snowboarding game.
Yeah.
And that song is in it. So he's been like around for like 20, 25 years.
Oh, yeah, like, dude.
Making soundtrack. For like, and that's the thing. Like when you say like, you know, people like no matter what they've done or played or movie they've seen, they've touched, you know, on something that Clayton has done. And it's true because like I did, and I didn't even know it.
Well, that's the thing, like how I stumbled across him. I had never heard of this guy before. And one night I was just, you know, I was on iTunes and I was just kind of surfing around and said, all right, I want to download some synthwave, some new synthwave stuff. And, you know, I checked out Spotify and I was checking out iTunes, and all of a sudden this album pops up and it says Scandroid. And I'm like, the name is kind of cool. You know what I mean? I'm like, let me check this out. So I played the first song and I went, what the fuck? I'm like, this is fucking awesome. So I ended up buying the album. And then I was like, all right, well, who is this guy? You know? And so I dove a little deeper and I looked it up on the web. And then I got into his website. He owns his own record label. He owns his own publishing company. He owns his own what else? Like merchandise company. He signs people to his label. Like Blue Staly, I've listened to some of his stuff. It's really good. There's a couple other artists that are on there. He just signed some new guy. I didn't really like the stuff that they did, but anyway, I said, all right, well, what else has this guy done? So then I find Cell Dweller, and I'm like, Cell Dweller? I go, why do I know that? And again, like you said, games, movies, right? And then I went a little deeper, and if you go onto his website, you can go deep to find out what he's all about. He was in a band called Circle of Dust.
Yep.
Circle of Dust, I guess, had toured a couple of times with Nine Inch Nails. And so he just finished, I don't know if you saw this, but he found a ton of VHS tapes of him and Circle of Dust. And he just put together a documentary on Circle of Dust. And dude, you have to see it. His hair's like down to his back.
Really?
Yeah, and he's playing guitar and singing. And one of the things I saw, but he was a drummer, dude.
Yes.
And then I saw him on Sonic State had him on. Nick Batt had him on as a guest, and it was just him. And it was an interview with him, and he did a studio tour, and I sat there with my mouth hanging down because I know this sounds weird and creepy and stupid, and I'm not Clayton.
Here we go.
I'm not Clayton by any means, but
here we go.
No, dude, he like told my story.
Mm-hmm.
And it blew my mind. And I just sat there and I went, wow, like him and I have a lot in common. I know there's a lot of musicians that are out there that start out as drummers and they go on to other instruments and things, but the things that he was talking about, I'm sitting there going, wow, this guy's like telling my story. And the other day, he posted a thing about all the different stage names that he had. And I had a bunch of different stage names, and I just sat there and I went, all right, this is just too weird. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just that connection, you know? And it's funny because him and his wife are expecting twins. And when he announced that they were going to have a baby and there was going to be twins, I messaged him back and I said, hey, congratulations, dude. I know you don't know who I am, but I'm a big fan. I hope you and your wife, you know, wish you and your wife the best. And congratulations again. And he messaged me back and he said, you know, I was like a little kid. Like I got kind of like, you know, star shocked, you know what I mean?
I bet you fucking busted a nut.
He messaged me back and all he said was, hey, thanks a lot, dude. I appreciate it, you know? And I was like, wow, it's really cool. Like he actually pays attention to things that he posts and people post back, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, how cool would it to get Clayton on here as a podcast guest?
Oh my God, dude. I wouldn't even know what to ask. I'd just be like, hey, can you just talk? I'd be like, dude, you can make it your show. Just talk. Just do whatever you got to do.
And you know, dude, it would probably never happen because he's so busy. Like,
oh yeah.
I mean, he's got three different projects going on. He's got movie projects going on. He just posted something that he's working on a new movie and he can't say anything about it, but he says it's big. And the last one he did was he also helped score part of the Transformers, two of the movies, the two last Transformers movies. I mean, the list goes on with him. Like if anybody's interested out there that wants to know about him and how good his music is, just go onto onto YouTube or onto his website. It's amazing.
And it's not even like it's one genre, like even though it's all like electronic, it's all different types.
Yeah.
It's just like, you listen to Scandroid and you get like this crazy 80s feel. You listen to, you know, Cell Dweller and you get like this, like almost like hardcore, like, you know, new age kind of 90s music or 2000s music. And then you listen to like Circle of Dust and you're like, Jesus Christ, this is amazing.
It's, yeah, Circle of Dust is very like industrial. Like,
yeah, it's just all so good.
Yeah.
Like, how does this human possess so much like talent?
Well, I downloaded the album Offworld by Cell Dweller, but that was an album that he put out. And Offworld, I believe, was also was a book or a comic book that was done.
Yes, it was.
And I was shocked, actually, because it was nothing like he did. It was a lot of acoustic, really sad songs and stuff. And I was impressed. I actually liked it. So, I mean, like you said, dude, his palette for music is just so wide and so vast. It's like crazy. Very talented guy.
Extremely.
I loved it on Nick Batt's show. On Sonic State, dude, it was the funniest freaking thing. Nick goes, you know, how is it like when you write a song? You know, what was the process for you? And he goes like this. He goes, dude, it was the funniest shit. He goes, I have no idea what the frig I'm doing. Yeah. He goes, I just do stuff. He goes, I'm self-taught. He goes, every time I buy something new, I learn it, I use it, and I figure it out. He goes, and that was another thing that blew my mind, because I'm like that. I took lessons and stuff, and I went to music school and stuff like that afterwards, like when I was in my like late 20s. But that was just like a refresher course for me, like to learn some theory and things like that. But, you know, he's just like, I'm just like him, I should say. I was just like blown away at the fact that he's like, I have no idea what the frig I'm doing. I just do it. And Nick Batt started laughing because it was really funny.
I mean, that's kind of how I am too. Like, I mean, I don't know, I can't read music and all that shit. I'm like, fuck that. If it sounds good, it sounds good, dude. Like, you know, I mean, well, not knocking anyone that can do that, but it's like, I mean, if it sounds good to your ears, it doesn't matter what chord and all this other bullshit, you know?
No. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, there's a marriage between notes and chords and patterns and, you know, and those are the things that you have to look for, you know? You know, but then you have noise artists out there that you know, I actually like some noise artists. Some of the stuff I listen to and I go, okay, you know what? I can't handle this. It sounds like somebody turned on a blender. But
some
I mean,
it's horrendous.
But some of it's really, really good. Like there was this drone thing, H.H. Noy, he was on the compilation album and he had posted this drone thing on Instagram and I listened to it and I really liked it a lot. Well, he's a master at modular, dude. He's unbelievable. And I just sat there and I was like, damn, I'm like, that sounds really good. And, you know, there's just textures. I always say that music is, you know, and you'll relate to this because you paint, you have a white canvas, you know, and music, you know, you take the palette of different textures of music and colors and you just kind of throw them on the canvas. And if they fall into place, you know, you've created something. And I kind of live by that theory. I just kind of throw stuff up on my screen and hit a chord or hit, you know, turn a knob. And, you know, if it sounds good and it pleases me, I don't write music to please other people. I write music that I like to listen to and things that I enjoy.
You know, I'm the same way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't. A lot of people say, oh, I got to write this, man. This is going to be the next big hit. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude. Like, I don't, you know, more power to people that can do that. I'm not like that. I've written pop songs. I really have, believe it or not.
You poor kid.
And I don't like doing it because it's not expressive to me. It's just a way to make a buck. That's the way I look at it. Real expression to me is something that comes from your heart and your soul, not your head. I know it sounds kind of cocky, but you got to believe in what you do, man. You know?
No, I totally agree. I don't think there's any painter out there that says, hey, I'm going to make this for someone and just for that sole purpose of someone. It's like if the artist isn't, you know, happy about it, they're not going to represent themselves in any other way.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure when Picasso painted that picture of that woman, he wasn't going after, like, you know, what the public's going to like. He went after what he saw.
Yep.
You know?
I agree.
Granted, it looked like a bunch of body parts, but I mean...
yeah, you know, he drank a lot.
Yeah, a lot of the artists did a lot of things. most musicians do a lot of things, too, but... But, you know, man, it's just, it's all about what comes out of your heart and your soul and your head, I guess, but not so much for me. I if I start thinking too much, I don't get anything done. If I just let it flow,
absolutely,
it just flows and I'm happy, you know. But well, listen, we got to wrap this up, bro. You're gonna die when I tell you this. We're at It's the longest one we've done, is 84 minutes and 54 seconds.
Jesus.
Yeah, so we've gone over a little bit. You know, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. If anybody's out there listening, I hope you enjoyed the show. You know, Zach and I are going to be doing this every Thursday night. And, you know, hopefully next week we'll I'm still working on that special guest, but hopefully next week we'll have somebody. I actually might have somebody that's going to talk a little bit about television and video production and what goes behind that. And he's freaking hilarious. He used to be he used to write jokes for a television show as well. So we're going to see if I can get him on here, maybe next week, who knows. But it should be comical. It should be a lot of laughs because he is a funny bastard. So
I can't wait.
But yeah, man. So, you know, keep tuning in to Echo Craft, synthesizers, music and sound technology. And, you know, we'll see you next week.
All right, man.
All right, Zach.
All right, buddy.
Hasta luego.
See ya.
Ciao.